Coming to the close of another Feast of Unleavened Bread, you know, and as is our custom, you know, this is a time of increased self-awareness, self-examination, a time when we consider ourselves and our relationship to our Father, our Heavenly Father. This time has led us to spend more time with the Scriptures, looking for both the correction and encouragement. I'm sure that many of us have one special Scripture that we all turn to in times of stress or for comfort or just for guidance. But rather than talk about those Scriptures today, I wanted to talk about a Scripture that makes me tremble, makes me scared when I read it. So let's turn to Isaiah 29:13 to begin. So in Isaiah 29:13, it says, "The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught." The prophet Isaiah was writing this during the reign of King Hezekiah, speaking about the people of Israel. And these people, instead of trusting God, they trust in their own diplomacy and foreign alliances and practices, things that Isaiah has denounced throughout his writings. But was he really speaking only to the people of Israel? These past 7 days, that question has continually been on my mind, and it made me think, am I relying on my own abilities and worshiping God in the same way that as the people Isaiah was condemning? Something's been thinking about this last week. In answering that question, I realized, you know, right up front that it's not possible for me to avoid my human nature. And overcoming the temptations of this world was beyond anything I could do of my own, my physical abilities. But I remembered an old saying, goes, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So I found over the years that focusing on little things often yields better results than trying to make sudden rapid changes and trying to do everything all at once. So knowing that, I was thinking about three different ways of how to get started on this path to change. So the first thing I came to realize is, it's not about me. You know, as a human being, we naturally focus on ourselves. We focus on our own needs and our own wants, and it's at the top of everything that we do throughout the day. But God wants our focus to be on Him and what He wants. That's a, you know, it's quite a change in our human nature. Let's turn to Psalm 103, verse 8. And reading from the Message Bible, God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't necessarily nag and scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is His love to those who fear Him. Our God is a loving God who knows what we struggle with, and He knows our shortcomings. He tells us that we have a much greater purpose in this life than just seeking our own needs. We move from being human-focused, me-focused, to being God-focused by thinking about Him, by focusing on our relationship with our Father. This leads me to the second point, understanding our own self-worth. I mean, this sounds kind of counterintuitive to the first point, but it's based upon the lessons of the past 7 days that we've been learning. God is doing work in us, but he's not looking to improve us. He's not looking to make us a little bit better. He's looking to make us perfect in every way. Let's turn to Ezekiel 36, and starting in verse 26. And I will put my spirit within in you. Oh, excuse me, sorry. That's 27. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. So we live in a world, this planet, was specifically designed and built for us. It was built for us to fulfill the purpose that he has for us. It's not something that just appeared out of thin air. There's a purpose there. Both of these points do tie together, though. They tie together in my final point. It's a simple point, but it's really tremendous impact on our spiritual lives and how we conduct ourselves. So the third point is understanding Christ's sacrifice. Now, this is obviously one of the pivotal truths that we've learned throughout our time in the church. For me, this is my 40th days of unleavened bread. And I know many here have been doing it a lot longer than I have. But it's not, and we know it's not possible to sit here for me to stand here and review the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in such a short period of time. So that's not my goal. But there's a lesson out of the sacrifice that we have all been living for these past 7 days, and that is the lesson of eating unleavened bread. Christ said, "I am the bread of life." He was the one that came down from heaven to give life to us and to the world. For my final scripture, let's turn to John 6, verse 32. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." That was not a physical bread, but a spiritual one, and that spiritual bread leads us to an everlasting life if we truly hear his voice. I believe that I've learned a lot and reflected a lot and seen things in a new light these past 7 days. And that's one of the reasons why the spring holy days to me never get old, they never get mundane, and I look forward to it every year. It doesn't have all the wonders of taking off and going to the feast in a different location. It's more physically focused on our lives on a daily basis. So I hope I can carry these lessons forward in however many years I have left to celebrate the feast. And so in spite of the setbacks of human nature, my goal is to eat that elephant one bite at a time.